Auto Central, powered by Auto Trader on cliffcentral.com.
Yeah, good evening, afternoon, whatever it may be out there. I'm so displaced, it's not even funny. Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, it is that time of the week. And it is time for your motoring power hour. It is time for Auto Central, proudly brought to you by autotrader.co.za, your trusted motoring marketplace. Right, so I'm joined in studio once again. Same, almost kind of, sort of, same panel as always.
Not really.
No. I've got Lawrence Mini on the mic there. Lon, how you doing?
Ah, no complaints, eh?
Good stuff. Got Tyron Woods as well. How you doing?
Yeah, good on yourself, Chad.
All good. Yeah. And we're being joined by Shepo. How are you? What's up, my man?
You remind me of my friend. You call me Shepo. I'm good. How are you, Chad?
Sorry, I got it?
Wrong.
Yeah. Okay, run
so,
it.
So now you're Shed because you call me Shepo.
Shepo.
Shed.
Tsepo.
Yeah. There we go. Okay. All right.
I got
to get the vernacular going.
I got it.
How are we doing?
Super. Yourself?
Yeah. All good. Yeah. It's a little bit of a change up. Hilmarie is going to be joining us. She's running a little behind, so she's going to barge through the door again like she did last week.
We'll clap
again
for her again this week.
Yeah, no, we'll give her a nice round of applause, I think.
100%. You guys keep saying again.
Yeah, last week she was.
Yeah, like, no, she's sort of almost kind of making a habit of this.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
I think it's because she sticks to the speed limit when she's driving.
Do you not?
No, I do.
No, the irony of this is that she's running late because she wasn't.
She
got pulled on the way to the show.
Oh, did she? Oh.
Drama.
So blame it on the cops.
Cats out the bag.
So Vilmarie is running a little bit late. She's been a bit of a naughty girl.
So I think the first question you must ask is, how much was the fine, or how much did you pay for the bribe?
How much did that cost?
We do not endorse bribes.
No, I'm not.
No. We do not endorse it, but there is a system in place, and if the system, works or benefits some of you.
The system that works for me is a good attitude and a smile.
100%.
But just be nice. The fact that I'm in television works against me.
We were actually talking about it earlier today.
Yeah.
We had a little bit of a photo shoot this morning, and we were talking about it earlier about, you know, getting pulled over and how you approach it. And you also raised one of those things like, listen, haven't you heard, like, $50 sort of thing? And apparently, now I've heard, all right, I'm not making this a racial thing, but I've heard that white guys just end up paying way too much. Plain and simple.
Yeah, that's because black cops ask way too much.
Like, we sit there and we feel like, okay, it's going to take $100 to get us off of this one or something of the sorts. And listen, let's put our cards on the table. We've all been in that situation where...
Speak for yourself. Where you at? Where you here to pay?
Where it's made the situation a little more bearable. Let's be PC about this.
I can honestly say, I'll put my hand up. I did it once. I had 6 rand 70 in loose change, and that's what he was happy to take.
You are joking.
Oh, six rand seventy.
You are kidding me. Mm.
Outside Monte Casino, Nogal.
That was your parking money.
You know they're listening, right? But I suppose it's all in the art of how you hand it over. Like, have you noticed how they pretend they don't even see them? Not that I've given it, but... Like, no, don't look at me. I'm like, don't you want this? No, but I make it heavy. I'm like, here it is. Says, no. I'm like, what? Don't you want money? Says, no. Go. And you hit it.
Is that why you've never paid a bribe? You've offered it, but they've never taken it.
Yeah, but you offer it very blatant. Like, oh, bloody, you took the money out the window. He runs away from the money. Oh, no.
Well, there we go. Your lesson for today.
No, but
television can also get you into trouble.
Yes, it's not drought.
Yeah,
look, super trouble.
No, I mean, when he sees who you are, then he figures, this is my big break for being famous. Like, yes, I got you. Like, dude, I'm sorry, I'm late. He says, no, you think this is TV? No, but it says, yeah, you think this is TV? I'm like, no, he says, get out of your car. Where's your driver's license? I'm like, yo, I'm in trouble here. Like, my guy, listen, don't call me my guy. No, where's your driver's license? And then he looks at it, he walks around the car, checks the tires, the whole thing, and it's like, no. I'm handing in. I've got you. And he makes a call. Yeah. You know these celebrities? I'm like, there's a point where you decide, okay, just keep quiet and follow the prompt.
Yep.
And then into Olifantsfontein police station you go.
There speaks the voice of experience.
Eish, comrade, it was not nice.
All right. So give us a little bit of a rundown. Tell our listeners why they should know you, your claim to fame.
My claim to fame. Look, Tsepo Maseko is a guy from Middleland Zone 9 Soweto, born and bred there. I'm actually Swazi, but I grew up Tswana.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, townships, the only other hobby that every other boy gets besides soccer will be cars.
Yeah.
And they're the best
way. So you're one or the other?
I was soccer, but I was a bit chubby. I mean, I was 5 times the size that I am now.
You know, we're not as athletic as what you are now.
I was very active.
Yeah.
But my weight would not allow for my activity. And then with cars, you don't need weight. You know, you just need that foot on the... And then my dad had an 1800 Bucky Datsun.
Yeah.
And he taught me how to drive because he realized that I'm not quite cracking the soccer business.
He's got to start prepping you for another career path.
No, but besides, he was a bit worried because in the townships back then, you look up to all those who drive flashy cars.
Yeah.
And back then, who drove flashy cars were not the guys who were on the right side of the law. So then you'd start picking up negative role models.
Yes.
And then, because then you later on you ask why, how is he driving the car? And you find out then you want to do the same thing so that you can drive the same car. So that's what my dad was like, I must nip this in the bud. Thank goodness he did. And then you went to school. So I studied drama at Pretoria Technicon. And then from there, I was on Isidingo almost all my, not all my life. but for a better part. I mean, I did Take 5 on SABC 1. Mm-hmm. I did Vehicle 19 with Paul Walker. I just did...
Now, we were talking about that a little earlier as well. And you say that he, you know, he was such a down-to-earth
guy. Awesome dude with a pair of all-stars.
Really? Yeah. And that's what stuck
He doesn't have quite a smile, but he doesn't have a frowny face as well.
Yeah.
You know, he's unreadable.
Ah, okay.
And he's very quiet. Like, he pulls you into his world. He says, come to my trail. I'm like, no, dude. And he wants to walk around Commissioner Street. Now, the bodyguards say, bad idea.
Yeah.
And he says, no, they probably won't know who I am. I'm like, yeah, Mara, the first thing would be black and white guy, Commissioner Street. And then they see me, like, and then they see him, like, So it's
going to escalate.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So then, but he's that kind of guy. He's
a blokey bloke.
Yeah. If you don't know who Paul was, like a lot of extras who didn't know who Paul Walker was, like, excuse me, sir, please pass me the salt. But he's such a lovely guy. I mean, professional dude. Very professional. He's very passionate about cars, eh?
Yeah.
We did a stunt. He was driving this a Chrysler mummy van.
Yeah.
And he did donuts and everything in it. But he wants to look at the car. He checks everything himself.
Really goes through it from every nut
he's
and
like
bolt
you.
Sort of thing.
He's like you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw you this morning. He's exactly like you.
All right. He checks. Fascinated
with
it.
You can see he goes into his world. But it was an awesome experience. So when he died, I even got a call from Daily Sun to say, how did you feel? I'm like, okay, well. Nice.
Yeah. Because, I mean, it was a bit of a loss. I mean, let's put the cards on the table.
Yes.
The man was not going to win an Oscar in a hurry. You know?
Hey, who Brad Pitt got it after how many years?
It was Leo.
Leo got it after 20 years or something?
Yeah. No. And could have, you know? He could have. Yes, he had the potential to.
Yeah.
But I think he appealed to a lot of the enthusiasts and the petrol heads around there. Because through the Fast and the Furious franchise, which was what he was best known for, you know, despite his efforts in, you know, there was a whole bunch. He did
romantic comedies.
He didn't really do that. He did some of the surfing ones and that type of stuff. You know, he did stuff away from it, but he was really, really well known for the Fast and Furious franchise. And
absolutely.
I think all motoring enthusiasts sort of lived vicariously through the Paul Walker character.
Hey, hold on. Easy on me now. What's vicariously?
Living...
through somebody
using
else.
Somebody else's experiences.
Oh, I see. See,
to
they say become a fool once. Now I know.
There we go. Yeah. No, I mean, if you live vicariously through somebody, as you put yourself in their position and his experiences, you feed off of his experiences as if they were your own, and it's the closest that you're really going to sort of get to whether it's a life of crime or being a playboy or in the Fast and Furious franchise case, being this undercover cop that drives these, you know, hot cars, fancy cars, and gets into these car chases and that.
Those cars.
And that was the thing, you know, we all sort of connected on that level, and he was...
The girls connected more.
Listen, they did,
they did. Basically, the reason why they put that disclaimer at the end of the movie. All of these stunt sequences were done in a controlled environment by professional drivers. Do not attempt this at home.
I wonder
you
if
might crash into your coffee table.
Yeah.
Yeah. But going back to my first love for cars, I did a show called Tlaran Tlope. Mm-hmm. It was a Setswana youth show where I played the lead, the actual guy, Tlaran Tlope. And he was a spoiled brat. His mom, when my dad, his dad passed away, they gave him the convertible Ford Fairlane.
Okay.
No, they had it all cut up. It was red with white leather seats.
Yeah.
And they had that shift key. Oh, it was a beautiful car. I think it was a V8. And, you know, I had to race down a resort in Pretoria.
Yeah.
But then I had no driver's license. I must have been like 14.
Yeah.
Né? And I clubbed that car because it speaks to you. And then there was a bend. I'm like, what do we do now? So I slammed the brakes, pulled the steering wheel. It went straight onto the thing with the tail. But the owner came rushing. He's like, it's only the chrome bar. But that thing is beautiful. Since then, the sound of these beautiful V8s just stayed with me. Hey?
Okay, good. And it's good. I'm glad that you're a petrol head because, I mean, you're going to be spending a lot more time with us here at Auto Central. And we look forward to the journey. I mean, getting you on board and getting your take on things. I think that's going to be something quite impressive.
Thank you.
Well, in light of that, we'd like to welcome Wilmarie Jans van Rensburg. Hey.
Hello, hello.
How much did that cost?
We all know it.
Cats out the bag.
Yeah. Except for
oh
me.
My
what
word.
Tell us
I
story.
Had to talk very nice.
You see?
Nicely.
You see?
We said it. Talk nicely.
We said it. Talk nicely.
No, they were okay. They said I got away with 250 Rand fine. So
fine.
And if I could do
fine.
It in a certain time,
it's not
top
fine.
50%.
No, it's not fine.
You know what's the worst? You know what's the worst of all? Have you noticed how we say thank you when they give us a speeding fine?
Oh, you haven't received enough fines then.
It's but you
because
do
you,
it
you
out
get
of
over
habit,
that. No, you get over that. Don't worry.
Just give me that bloody thing.
You
right?
say thank you and they give you a fine?
No. When they give it, we say thank
people?
You. Why do we?
Because
why do
polite?
We say thank you? Yes, I'm trying to be polite, but I wasn't very happy.
No, I mean, your blood's boiling. You're sitting there, the steam's out your ear. You're like, I'm late, I'm inconvenienced, and I'm now out of pocket. Thank you very much.
And the worst, and the worst of all is I'm trying to say to him, I have cruise control. I normally put it on there, but for some reason I didn't. Can I just go? And he's like, oh no, my. What did he say? His supervisor is sitting there. He's like, oh, okay. What's the minimum you can give me?
You did not understand.
Are they hiding in the bushes?
It means it's not just me. Whatever you must do.
I have nothing, no.
Times
yes,
two. We must share.
So in other words, Tyron's going to need about 17 bucks.
That is
yeah, exactly. In 50 cents coins and you just pay it out slowly and eventually they just wave you on.
Oh, I must remember that. I'm going to have a bag.
I've just come back from bingo. Here's a yeah. Here's a banky of 50 cent coins.
Shem, I'm sorry. So you got a fine?
Yes. And I actually don't bribe. That's one thing I'm quite... Like, I don't
you just break
do
the speed
that.
Limit, you don't
basically,
bribe.
Basically, yes. Yeah,
listen,
you know,
anybody
I had
that,
to choose.
Anybody
which
that
one?
Sits here and says that they don't, you know, that they're an absolute saint is lying. You know, you drive on the road, yes. Sometimes that traffic light is going to be red by the time you cross the far side line.
Yeah,
you know, you've gone through it. You've gone through it orange and, hey, it's red on the other side. You've maybe stopped a little bit in an intersection because of traffic. You've done... five or 10 k's an hour over the speed limit. Anybody that's sitting there saying
solid lines,
cross the
solid line.
Yeah.
This goes on.
You know, parked within 9 meters of a corner or something of the sorts. So anybody that's out there listening that thinks, oh, these reckless bunch. No, dude. It's
just you,
you're lying
your own
to
house
yourself
before you complain.
Yeah,
you're only guilty once you're caught.
Hey, look, the president.
Like
is that what it is?
I like
you're
that.
Guilty when you're caught. Ach, look, the presidential arcade does what 180 k's an hour. So
we'll
just to go to the KFC.
You said it. I didn't.
They do whatever they want. I mean, come on, it's a free for all.
They run this country after all.
Right, so no guest per se, because, well, our guest is becoming a permanent fixture here today. Wilmarie, how was the weekend?
It was great, but I'm more excited about the coming weekend, because, you know, we're leaving. Actually, it's tomorrow already, leaving for Bike of the Year.
Ooh.
Until Sunday.
Okay, yes, and we were talking about that last week with Harry.
Yeah, and I was a little concerned with the last 2 days with the weather. I thought we were going to have to get our jet ski goggles out and go do the wet thing, but I think we're going to be okay.
The super waterproof leather pants.
I saw
Umhlanga or something.
Pictures
Toti.
Yesterday of Long Tom Pass under snow.
Oh, don't say that. Oh.
Sorry.
No, don't
say
that.
It might be melted by the time you guys get through
it,
there.
Yeah.
But it was. If it's anywhere near as cold as it was this morning, 1 degree, I feel for you. I really do. I hope you
like
the
Harry
thermals.
Said, you know, you guys have got all the fancy clothes. You'll be fine.
Actually, he's got. I don't. Cause I
thermal clothes.
Thermal
clothing.
I genuinely don't like long rides on the bike. I like
Hi,
to
Dave.
Yeah.
I'm needing some gear.
I normally tow the bike. I get there and I enjoy it.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah.
So now
that's the
doing,
spirit.
Yes. Now I have to go, I don't know. I need to find the warm stuff. And light. It's got to be light because you sit on that bike for
It can't be
three,
warm
four.
And light. Go thermal, man. You're going to have be a bit heavy, but...
No, look, the bike stuff, you've got some awesome...
electronic
Didn't
thermal
you have a shield?
Gadgets.
Some of it. But now I remember there's
no,
15 different
no
bikes.
No heated seats?
No, I asked. You see, my thinking's not far off. I asked. It's only heated grips, unfortunately.
I'm almost sure
I wouldn't
saw
mind
one
the
of those under jacket, like waistcoats, that is battery operated.
You can plug in, like an electric blanket.
Where must I find that today? I'm leaving tomorrow. Thanks for telling me now.
Make a phone
now.
Call. I mean, you're Vilmary.
Well,
come on.
Pretty much, exactly.
Come
make
on.
A phone call. You're Vilmary. Make a plan. Make a plan.
Be in the right direction. Where'd you see it?
No, I'm thinking it's just Woolworths on the way home, and it's just thermal it's underwear. Yeah. Yeah. Long johns.
Long johns.
Actually, that's a great idea.
And how long is the
I'll
ride?
Send you pics. Not of the thermal.
I was about to say. I'm like, why would I want to see your thermal underwear, woman?
Not you, them.
Speak for yourself.
Oh. No, but yeah, please do. I mean, we're quite...
How long?
No, take some photos and that sort of stuff of the roads ride. And the rides and that sort of stuff.
I definitely will.
And what you get on about, because we're really, really keen and we... After chatting to Harry, we got a better idea of what's actually involved with Bike of the Year. So we're keen to see the selection of bikes and who all's there and what sort of roads and surfaces you're going to be riding on, what sort of areas.
I really hope weather plays along, because otherwise it affects it in a bad way.
It makes it a little unbearable.
Very difficult to test the bike for what it is.
I did a 5-day forecast this morning. We have got sun all the way until next week, Tuesday.
Oh, wow.
But...
There's always
zero to 5 degrees on average.
So that wind chill on the bike is going to be absolutely...
No, you see, and the problem with that is not just wind chill, it's the tar. So, you know, with the bikes, the grip is the issue.
Yeah, we experienced that at Swartkops, trying to start at Swartkops at like 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning.
It's the difference between being upright and putting your knee down. There's no in between.
Yeah.
It's either or, you know, type of thing. So we'll have
to
see.
I wonder why
it's
they do it now then. Why don't they do it in, I suppose, summer you got the rains. So
this is very uncharacteristic rain.
Yeah,
I mean,
definitely.
We're not supposed to. Joburg's not supposed to have rain in June, July.
We're not supposed to have floods and tornadoes and hail.
Yeah.
Now. It's crazy.
But did you see the size of the stones? I mean, when it hailed yesterday, I was in mid-rent. People had to pull in under shelter.
Yeah. No, it was... And you get, it was like golf ball size.
You get warnings from the insurance. A storm warning.
But they warn too late. Although they are getting better, I must say. Most of the insurance companies are getting better. They give you a heads up. You know, hide your car. I didn't get one, though, but we got hail.
Well, I mean, talking on that, make sure that... If you are listening, make sure that your vehicle is covered, your insurance policy, that it covers the types of hail damage and that type of thing. Because I don't think we're out of the woods with regards to this inclement weather and that. And come November, December, it may just swing around again. We may see what we saw a few years ago in terms of the hail damage. And that's why they're sending out the warnings, because they don't want people vehicles.
Yeah.
They don't want to pay out. Because there was a massive backlog when that happened. I think it was about 2 or 3 years ago that it happened. We had that big spate of hail and that as well. And there was such a backlog at the panel beaters for
because they can't cope with it. It's a month to fix something. It should take a week.
And now everybody's sitting on their case. Listen, I want my car like yesterday. Where is my car? So, you know, guys, if you are out there, make sure that your insurance policy does cover it, because hail damage, it can absolutely wreck the value of a vehicle.
Oh, yeah.
Massively, massively. You know, it's not something you should take a risk with. And try not to drive the vehicle, you know, when there's a bit of a hail. Take 5 minutes and go and check a weather report or check the warnings.
Where was the tornado? Was it? I heard
in
Tembisa.
There was one. There was a big one in Tembisa that pulled the roof off.
Basically travelled from Kempton across Tembisa on its way to Bronkhorstspruit.
That scared you.
That's why I know, because I heard. By the way, is one coming? And I thought, I hope not.
Yeah, there was a smaller one out Magaliesburg way as well. So either side of Joburg, you know, where things start. Although not that Magalies is flat. But just started developing them.
Look, you semi okay in a car, but you do not want to be on a bike or a bicycle in a situation like that.
Listen,
we think windstorm, but I mean, this was proper. This is what you watch, like
tornado.
The storm chasers.
You watch on National Geographic.
Exactly.
Yeah, and now suddenly it's in Tembisa.
And if they get strong enough, it'll pick up a car.
It picked up the roof of a mall and put it on top of a car.
Yes.
And it flipped over a truck. Yeah. It was a truck that it flipped over. It must have been one of these 2-ton trucks or something.
Where did you get that pic?
On the interweb. They're all over the place.
They're all over the place.
Seriously, tornado, Tembisa, and you'll get...
Look, some people got it first hand.
Yeah. No, you don't want
it happened
to
them.
Yeah, that's not nice.
No,
that's not cricket.
Yeah, because that pic you're showing there is close. I mean, that's someone in the line of fire.
Oh, you must see the footage on TV is like,
We've never had this.
Yeah. You know what the thing is? We also don't know the damage that it can cause.
Yeah.
Because we've never really experienced it. So the South Africans were getting excited about it and sort of like rushing up to see this thing. Ooh, that's pretty. Not realizing, dude, you actually need to be legging it the other way.
What do you do, though? I mean, when you're on the highway and you can see it's going to cross ahead of you, what do you do? Like, you pull over and wait for it?
Bridge.
Under a bridge.
You get under something as strong and sturdy as possible.
Yeah, but how strong is the bridge?
Ideally, what you're wanting to do, and I mean...
That's another story in South Africa, by the way.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, ideally, what you're wanting to do, try and get into a basement parking lot. Yeah.
Exactly. Because the bridge, I underground don't trust,
parking lot. Yeah. No, you can't. Yes, I know we've had those instances, but we have big got freeway flyovers...
Yeah,
you know,
they're generally very strong.
Those are generally pretty strong.
Except the one that went down on Grace.
The thing is, though,
that was in the building.
That's
process.
What you were talking about, right?
We have friends in the American Midwest.
Yeah,
and they will tell you that what we got through Tembisa there, that was like an F1.
You are joking.
They go all the way up to an F5, and they will tell you as well, never park and go and hide underneath a freeway overpass because
really?
Tornado comes past there, it actually accelerates the wind.
Because it breaks the wind, actually.
It accelerates the wind and it can under actually bridge. Suck you out from out the other
in
side.
The car.
So they will tell
see,
you.
That'll be cool. I mean,
you can clearly see we're motoring experts and not weather experts.
Yeah, not weather experts. Okay.
This is not the weather show.
Seppo said it. National Geographic and Discovery Channel, man. That's
can
all.
You imagine you're in a little Tata and you'll hide under the bridge and that thing comes for you?
What's the speedo going to read?
That's why it's
you're
going
to close the clock on a Tata.
Yeah, I look at it.
Hey, I need to Instagram this. People are never going to believe this.
That's scary, eh? Because we're not disaster ready, I think. I mean, we don't know what to do when
we aren't.
We are actually one of the few countries in the world that is not subject to any sort of natural disaster.
Yeah.
We don't have ice storms, fire storms, earthquakes, volcanoes, tornadoes.
At least we thought.
Tsunamis.
No tsunami. There's no chance of tsunami.
We have black ice.
Yeah,
black eyes.
That's not necessarily a massive
I'm right here,
natural disaster now, is it?
I'm right here, you know.
It is could be a huge disaster if you're on a bike, let me just tell you. Car too, but it's not fun because you don't see it.
For those who don't know, what is black ice?
Yeah, please. Because we all had black eyes at a photo shoot this morning.
Yeah, we did, actually.
What photo shoot did you guys do?
Hey, stop with this. We'll
show you pictures.
Is that where the makeup comes from?
Yeah. Pretty much. His is still on.
Did you wash yours? No, I thought yours is still on.
I've still got. My hands are filthy as well. But anyway, it was a lot of fun.
Well, black ice is basically a thin layer of, it's ice across the road, the tar, and you can't see it. There's nothing that warns you. You're just suddenly out of control. So it's almost like you would have diesel on a bike. Mm-hmm. There's nothing you can do. Absolutely nothing.
Oh traction,
it's
no
not,
traction.
It's not thick enough that it actually turns white.
It's for you to see it. Yeah.
It's that thin that it's just moisture that is frozen on the surface. So it still looks like the road surface. But
yet it's not.
No matter how slow you're riding, it can still be.
It's greasy. So it's like having an oil or a diesel spill on the road. You know, it's not clearly evident, and unless you sort of can really predict where it's gonna be, you
realize you're spoiling my chances of my wife allowing me to get a bike, right?
Well, you can tell her that we actually have the best weather, considering, for biking.
Look, she came from a funeral where her friend's husband died in a bike accident when he was on his way from another funeral with a bike accident. Well, so I had an 1100 Dragster that I was still tuning, and it's like, we are selling this thing now.
Ooh, and there was no getting out of it. Yeah.
So I was like, okay, but it's not fair. I mean.
You can cross the road and it can happen.
You know what I mean?
So for me, I'd a lot of people try and argue that I don't agree with it, but it is personal choice. Now, most of the time, I can tell you, it's people just not understanding what it's about. Biking, do the responsible thing, go for training like you guys saw as well, and prepare yourself, yes. But it's people not knowing what they're in for and exactly what it's about. They are the ones to say, no, never, ever, ever sell it now.
But I suppose it also has to do with how what experience she's exposed to of biking. Especially black bikers cut corners badly. I mean, your first bike would be a super bike.
Oh, you mean cut corners like that?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I was thinking.
Going straight to the biggest and best.
But they're not everyone. Mostly.
Yeah, that's what I said. Some.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know.
Well, white people, black, pink, doesn't matter. Yeah, they do it, unfortunately. Yeah. And they're just irresponsible. So, yes, that's where the danger lies.
Go straight for the supercar of the bike world.
Without the necessary experience.
And actually, speaking of that and accidents and that, you see the news about
The Koenigsegg
1-to-1.
On the Nürburgring.
Yes, pretty much the most expensive production car. Comes in about £5 million or something of the sorts.
Pounds,
and it had a nice big accident in testing at the Nürburgring. So that was a bit of an expensive accident.
And it's privately owned.
It was... I'm not sure if it was privately owned because it was being test driven in preparation for setting a production car lap record at the Nürburgring.
And it picked Koenigsegg themselves said, we're going to fix it and it'll go back out.
Yeah, and that is going to go back.
Actually, looking like that. Yes.
I was about to say, with that kind of damage.
But the safety of it's incredible. If you look at the structure.
We're talking about carbon fiber tubs and stuff this morning.
Yeah.
So
there you go.
Same thing. Well, here we go. They're saying that the 1-to-1 experienced front axle brake lockup at approximately 170 kilometers an hour. Now, this is because Koenigsegg has taken the car back and they haven't tried to sweep it under the rug or anything. They've said, it had an accident. We know you know about it. But we're going to find out why it happened.
Mm.
And we're going to use this to learn from. And I love the approach of Koenigsegg in that, is that they very, very seldom come out there with high and mighty sort of claims and this ego and status. And no, couldn't have been us. And we can't account for owners or something of the sort. They feel responsible for each and every vehicle that is out there.
Hmm.
And they're almost hands-on with each and every vehicle they build. And just that side of the company just fascinates me. Besides the fact that these cars look and sound absolutely amazing. So they took the car back. It is. It's a stunning vehicle. They took the car back and they've done the study into it and they pulled the telemetry and the black box because, I mean, you know how fancy these things are. They're like, they can sit there and tell you exactly what happened. And this is the report. So locked up at approximately 170 kilometers an hour. It's about 110 miles per hour. You know, and that's moving. On a section of the track known as the Fuhlschorer, before hitting the fence at Adenia Frost, at approximately 110. Adenia Forst, not Frost. At approximately 110 kilometers an hour. The impact with the fence launched the car into the air for an estimated 22 meters. I mean, that's how specific they're being. Not just, you know.
Approximately.
Yeah, you know, for an estimated 22 meters. While it turned 180 degrees before it landed on its left rear wheel and pivoted to land parallel with the fence. That's how accurate they've pulled the telemetry from it and said, this is exactly how it landed, etc. And yes, they need to know the stuff. The airbags, fuel shutoff and other safety systems all deployed as they were designed to do. There was a small fire in the rear section of the car due to contact between the carbon fiber rear panels and the exhaust upon landing. This fire was extinguished by the driver using a fire extinguisher that was located inside the car.
Oh, wow.
This guy's just had a 170 kilometer an hour train.
And he goes, shh.
And he's still awake and corpus mentis enough.
After the club from an airbag.
Exactly, yeah. Because, I mean, those things hit you like Mike Tyson. And to sit there and to kill a fire. And yeah, he walked away.
Wow.
So the accident has been traced to a fault with the front left ABS wheel sensor signal. Data analysis shows that the dashboard ABS warning light was triggered as soon as the ABS wheel sensor malfunction occurred. The small yellow ABS warning light is located centrally in the dashboard, but may be difficult for the driver to see when he's wearing a helmet and concentrating on high-speed driving. So, understandably kicked up a warning. They know that it kicked up a warning. Yeah, your focus is somewhere else. The driver may not necessarily notice any difference in the braking feel as long as he is not near the ABS braking zone. In other words, braking hard enough
kind
that
of
it would
too
have
late.
Triggered the ABS.
Yeah.
While the ABS warning was activated well in advance of the lockup, data analysis shows that the driver's brake zone application at Fuhlschorer was the first brake application in ABS zone. So that was the first time that he would have encountered it. Hence, it was the first opportunity for the driver to notice that the ABS fault through the brake pedal. Our ABS system, like most, includes a backup feature where the rear, and this is now from the Koenigsegg website, so that's where our ABS comes from. In the event of an ABS fault that results in the front wheels locking up, letting the rear wheels rotate instead of locking up together with the front wheels prevents the car from rotating. Instead, the car will continue in a straight line.
Sure.
The system worked to specification as can be seen by the straight skid marks left in the, by the front tyres on the track prior to the car colliding with the fence. Our engineer spent several hours on Wednesday, 20th of July, replicating the fault using a similar car at our factory test track. The front left, left wheel ABS sensor was disconnected, and ABS level braking force was applied. We found the results that were entirely consistent with those experienced by the 1-to-1 at Nürburgring.
Sure.
So, they know exactly what the fault was, they've done the testing, they've managed to replicate the conditions, and they can go and fix it now. So,
no one can actually point a finger at them then, because they've. This is the issue.
No, this is the issue.
It's on the table. It's now, when did that accident happen?
Just trying to
check
the date. Yeah, it was about 18th of July.
So, they know that already. So what happens with an aircraft crash? Why can't they figure out what happened as quickly as that?
You know,
well,
because they have that little black box.
And that's what I love about this as well, is because in that sort of train of thought, this I found within 2 seconds on the internet with a couple of clever search terms. You know, they've made it public.
Look, you've got to know how to spell that.
They're not hiding anything. That's the beauty
of
Google. It will sort of almost kind of, and it's quite and it phonetic. Yeah, and I love the fact that they've made it public and they're not sitting there trying to hide it.
Yeah.
They understand that, heck, if this costs us a sale of one of the cars,
we
didn't
something.
Want you to buy our car.
Well, they've just proved that their safety systems actually work. So I think the
marketing, the innovation
is going to go up in, you know, if you can afford £5 million
Look,
pounds for a car.
I don't know. I've got a different view on that, though.
Yeah,
look,
what's your take?
I'd love that car. But as a, let's call it a professional driver, rider, whatever, if your equipment fails you, you know, the next time, especially on the bike side, what are you looking at? Oh, I clicked something. Relax. On the phone. Did you see his face?
No.
You're
distracting me.
Sorry. Apologies. Yes, very distracting. But that's not even funny, Thornery.
I clicked something on Google. Mm. It opened a
you
page.
Saying,
it's not
though,
like
Manny.
It's a stripper page or anything. But anyway.
Oh, is it? Now we want to see.
In my books, it's still.
Now we want
what
to
was
see.
What was
vile.
I saying?
You were saying
your opinion.
Your opinion on buying the vehicle. And
if something in my equipment fails and causes me to crash or have an accident, it is so difficult, especially on the bike, to go in there, same speed, same. Yeah, it normally takes quite. Exactly. So it takes quite a bit of time and confidence to build up again to get to that same kind of test level and further. So
I can't hold that against you. I think that's just a human, you know, a human 100%. Knee-jerk reaction. I mean, we can only base what we do on what we know. And, you know, if you've learnt that going in there a little fast is a bad idea, and especially
you
if it's hurt,
off,
you're going to go in there and it's going to start becoming instinct. So to try and fight that is, you know, it's going to take a while, a little bit of conditioning.
That's what I say. The one side with the safety equipment, great. But that side, still your fault.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not
look,
mine.
You know, talking of accidents as well, and not to change the subject, but this is going to.
Yeah.
Some clown in Cape Town crashed his car.
Literal clown or just a sort
no,
of.
No, he probably he should have been in a clown suit.
I think you wanted to call him an idiot, ne?
Well, that is.
Yeah.
Chasing Pokemon Go. Like, seriously.
Oh, yes.
Are you that stupid that you are going to try and play with your phone while you're driving? I don't get it. I'm sorry.
Was it a self-driving car?
No.
Then he's an idiot.
Wasn't he a navigator? Was he driving himself?
No, he was driving himself.
Yeah.
Okay, so did he actually... So is this what the people are doing? Because I've been hearing about this Pokemon thing.
You're not supposed to be driving. You're supposed to be walking with it. But yeah, no doubt people are finding hacks and ways around it so that they can drive and play it. And that is just... It's...
But even walking can get you into
it's
trouble.
Well, people have been knocked over. You know, walking into the middle of the road, like, oh, because my phone says I can. Like, are you really? Are you that stupid? No, I'm sorry.
Maybe they were using Apple Maps.
Anyway, I just needed to vent.
Next time, I think you and I must take a trip to the studio in a taxi.
Yeah.
Peak hour morning.
Yes.
And you must see how change is, how the taxi driver deals with change, like coins and paper and having to change lanes and look at people and listen to this short left and short right. It's exactly the same thing as chasing Pokemon. It's exactly the same thing.
I thought that's why they had those doormen to change the money and do that.
Doormen where? Those people cost money.
Oh, but geez, like,
well, why pay the oak if you can do it yourself,
you
and
know
just
what I
sort
mean?
Of, you know, skimp on your driving?
Yeah,
you know,
well,
multitask.
When you're putting 22 people in a taxi, you should be able to have a doorman.
25.
Oh, sorry. Bad.
Which bit is legal? Neither.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say. I'm trying
to. You can
to
have someone to control your door and take your money and stuff.
It's 8 or 9 is legal. Not 22 11. And 25.
No, but how do you put legal and
12
in the same sense? the Taxi Association, I've got nothing against you because a lot of you are very good people. But it's just that, some actually damage your brand. But I mean, if people
just
can,
a little
can,
bit, yeah.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Just a little.
But if you can do change all day long, you might as well play Pokemon. And then we'll bury you next week.
Yeah.
Yes.
Can you imagine someone drives that on a bike?
Yeah, no.
I mean,
that's,
no. Come on.
Where are you going?
It cannot be done.
Chase a fake animal that's planted in a pot plant somewhere.
Where does
it
even come from?
I don't know. Some idiot.
Yeah. Another one.
End of story.
Idiot made it, idiots followed.
Now, so I mean, Lawrence, you're talking about, was he in a
self-driving car.
A self-driving car. Do you know that Mercedes-Benz has just recently released a autonomous coach?
That is
basically
amazing.
A bus.
Yeah.
So you're talking about the taxis and that. They've started now.
Can you imagine
with,
something fails there?
There is still a driver.
Yes. Yeah, there's still a driver.
And that is a thing. That is a lot of what... But it happened with aircraft as well. And if George was here, he'd be able to attest to it. With autopilot systems, they sat there and they said, well, autopilot's fine, you know, if you're putting it on a small plane or something of the sorts. But when you're putting it on a big airliner that's got 300 odd people on it, you know, that's a lot of lives that can be lost through one system's malfunction. Mm. And it's similar here. You know, if you've got an autonomous car and you write yourself off, you drive off a bridge or something of the sorts.
Or a truck crosses the road in front of you.
Yeah, you know, like, okay.
Don't they have those auto stops? They should.
No, they would. They would, yes. Yeah. But, you know, there's no major loss if there's a loss of life there. I'm not going to say there's a major loss, but there's only a singular life lost. But when you're sitting there with a bus full of 30, 40 people or so, you know, it starts getting exponential. Yeah. You're putting 30, 40 lives at in risk, one system sort of...
Hands.
Yeah. They said that it went without fault, though. And what I actually liked is that this coach had three different sectors. I just want to get the names of these because
what
that was quite
sectors?
Nice. They had different zones. Had three distinct zones for passengers traveling different distances. Yes.
Yeah. So there was a service zone. There's an express zone for short journey travelers, and then at the back is like a lounge. So if you're going on a long trip, so they've basically broken the bus up into three segments, and depending on your travel time and where you're going to, you can choose whether you want to travel
first class or third class.
First,
hop on, hop off, standing room only, you know? Type stuff. I actually thought I thought that was really nice, and I can understand why they would implement this in an autonomous sort of vibe.
Yes,
because this is meant for long distance cruising.
Yeah.
So my question is, he's going to get to a town, he's going to pick up a couple of short distance fares, but he's actually passing through towns,
going the long
carrying
distance.
the ones right at the back.
And what's nice is, and obviously reading the article, is the bus can actually sync itself with the robots, the town's robot. It will sync itself up to that system, so it will be able to travel.
Slows the speed down, speeds it up.
Almost without even having to stop. It'll be constantly in motion, but it will have synced itself so that it gets the next light green and the next one green, minimal delays.
Yeah. So naturally, the speed will be pretty low. So chance of accidents, I mean, if it syncs itself like that, then if it's an 80 zone, it'll probably be doing like, what, 50?
Usually it's about 70, 72 k's an hour if you manage to sync.
On the
synchronization. Yeah, on the synchronization, believe it or not. And often... Some towns will even synchronize their 60-kilometer-an-hour zone at 72 kilometers an hour as well. Those are the irritating ones out in the East Rand, like Brakpan and Benoni, that always catch you.
No, you must drive out to Zeelust with one traffic light, then you sort it.
Or you just go to Velcro.
I have missed nothing in Zeelust, okay?
Circles and more
I
circles.
I went in, I stopped at like the farmer's stall, the buy everything and anything. There was nappies next to shotguns. I said, this is a great place.
Where was this?
Zeelust.
In the northwest.
In the northwest.
I haven't been there.
You probably have, but you were so fast that you didn't notice.
You didn't notice it. It had one robot, one goat, and one tree, and the goat was tied to the tree.
Shame.
Which was next to the robot, yeah.
That's terrible.
No, Jeff.
That's Zeelust. That is it. In and out. You blink, you miss it. Vach. Quaint place, untouched, unspoiled by human hands.
That's actually quite pretty. See, now you've ruined it. You've told everyone.
I was being sarcastic.
Oh. My question is, though, on the bus thing, quickly, then why have a driver?
Just in case the system does happen to fail.
Yeah.
And it's the same way that you could. Planes can automatically take off and they can automatically land and they've got autopilot, they can automatically fly.
But
we've still got a crew of three up front there. Yeah. In the event that something does go wrong or that a system fails or there's a abnormality that happens, there needs to be a human that can intervene. So yes, there will always, I think there's always going to be a driver. And we were talking about this when we were talking about the autonomous cars and that as well, is that as much as we are developing and autonomous cars are a thing of the future and not too distant future, we're still going to have driver's licenses because you're still going to have to know how to control the vehicle.
Take over if need be.
You know, and I think it's going to be quite a while before we can do away with driver's license, and purchasing a car can get you wherever you want to go without needing to know how to drive. I think we're still a long way from that, but you're still going to need to have to know how to drive in the autonomous cars as well. And they're really, really close. I mean, we're talking 3 years, folks. 3 years. We've got 2020.
You think?
Yeah. No. I'm genuinely saying,
when you look at the likes of your i8, you see where the cars are going. I mean, we were talking this morning about that McLaren.
Yeah.
And the whole seating position that. Yeah. Probably in future, you open the door and the shelf comes out, the seat like
comes out with a seat in it, yeah, and that'll just shuffle you in. And
the vehicles, yes, I mean, everything there is progressing quickly. The problem, remember, what we said is our infrastructure.
Infrastructure, yeah. Infrastructure is a big nickel.
Because if you don't have a line, it's not going to pick up.
It's not going to detect,
you know, it's not going to work properly. It's going to take you down.
I mean, there are constant improvements, and yeah, I think that our...
the technology will be available, but we won't get it for another 10
years. Yeah, I don't know that it'll be feasible in all areas of South Africa. You know, they'll roll out in some nicely maintained road areas
like
in the
west. Joburg and Western Cape.
Joburg? Yeah. No, just Western Cape, dude. Just Western Cape.
Northern Cape.
Joburg, I mean, the stretch, the N1 stretch. I mean, from Pretoria to Joburg, you're safe.
Have you not seen those yellow lines on, like, the left-hand side that are wiggling like this? It looks like a slung.
That's because the road gives in. So it's
exactly.
Oh, yeah. It's okay. Now I get it. The N4, then, is your best bet. That N4 Bakwena Highway.
Yeah, until the bit where it ends and goes nowhere.
You know what? These cars give a whole new meaning to paint, road paint.
Well, that needs to be done.
And
I mean,
the importance
A lot of them work off the road markings.
Exactly.
That. Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to go to a quick little ad break. And then when we come back, we're going to be chatting about some more of the weird and wonderfuls. And we're going to be chatting about Auto Central and how Auto Central is changing and a couple of the change-ups that are going to be happening.
Choice. Sometimes you have it. And sometimes you don't. Auto Trader gives you the choice. Now you can shop, compare, and buy new cars. Watch our expert video reviews and research before you buy. Auto Trader New Car. The choice is yours.
Keeping it real on CliffCentral.com.
Auto Central, powered by Auto Trader on CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, and we're back with a little bit of Wycliffe there. Right, so we did say that things are changing up a little bit at Auto Central. And yes, well, this is the last show that's going to have me at the helm. So,
and
steering it, yeah, and yourself as well. So, the two of us, hey?
Where's our cake?
Yeah, it's not cake. It's not
you
cake.
Guys are going?
It's nothing, well, yeah.
We're handing the torch over to you guys.
Yeah, you
Seppo,
and Ty.
You and Ty.
We've got some other stuff to go
like
do.
A big party.
Yeah, so
exactly.
We're handing it over.
We thought today was going to be like
we're still Vilmer and myself are still going to be in. Lawrence is still going to be joining us as well. But we're changing roles a little bit. We're going to come in every now and then. We're going to do a couple of car reviews, bike reviews, a little bit of interest articles here and there. But not only is the sort of steering and the host of Auto Central changing, it's also going to be changing time slots, and it's going to be changing days. So currently we're sitting here between 1 and 2 p.m. on a Wednesday. And if you are listening live, thank you very much for joining us. But we hope that you do join us when we move,
Monday.
Because it's moving to a Monday at 9 o'clock in the morning. Now, you may
right
sit there and
Gareth.
Say, right after Gareth's show, yep. And you might
that's
sit there and say,
slot.
But no, but it's not my lunchtime or what. Don't come to me with those stories. I don't want to hear it because I'm not believing you. It's 9 o'clock. It's 9 o'clock on a Monday. Show me one person in South Africa that is working at 9 o'clock on a Monday. All right? You can listen to us. Really. You really can. Okay? So
besides, there's a podcast.
Yeah, there's podcast as well. So, you know, you guys can come and still download the podcast. We are going to be changing it up a little bit. We're going to be doing our reviews a little differently. Yeah, we've got a review for today as well. And that was... Well, which one were we going to do?
8 things that you like about
It was the Figo. It was the Ford Figo. So, we're going to touch on that one quickly and just, you can actually go, we're actually going to push you to go and take a look at the video. Because the video is short, sweet, to the point, and we just touch on it. We got 8 topics there, and I'm going to try and remember them all now, because I didn't write them down. But, we like the way that the Figo is styled. And Lawrence and myself, we spent some time with it, and I really like it, because it looks
you
like...
You spent some time in the boot.
I spent some time in the boot as well.
What's
because we like the space. The boot space is fantastic. We had it in the sedan and it looks pretty good. And that boot is properly cavernous. And you can fold the back seats down as well so that you've got some long stuff. Throw it in there. And I'm not just talking about like golf clubs and that because that fits in the boot properly.
Perfectly.
I mean, it's got such a big boot for such a what is essentially
small car.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so you talk golf clubs. I talk cooler boxes and camp chair.
Plenty of space. Yeah. Okay. Now you're taking 8 people camping. 8 people, yeah. It's not like a 4-person camper. It's an 8-person camper. 8 camp chairs, 2 healthy cooler boxes, you know? Mm. Yeah. It can work like that.
But you can't fit them in the car.
No, you can't. So you have to get another Figo for the other 4. That said, it's got fantastic space inside. Rear leg room at the back is absolutely wonderful. We put the seat in like a normal, nice, average driving position, not too on top of the steering wheel, not too far back, not that typical gangster city golf lean out the back window maneuver
why
either.
Why do you look at me when you say gangster?
Because you know the kind. You know the kind.
Yes, I
do. You know the kind. We all know the kind. And yeah, there was plenty of leg room in there. Really, lots of leg room. I like the fact that the front driver's seat was height adjustable.
It seems to be a Ford thing.
Height adjustable.
I have an XLS downstairs that we're testing that has that little crank handle on the side. And you literally, there is literally, it's about a 30 centimeter distance in height from the lower setting all the way to the top. And, I mean, even at its highest setting, I think your head didn't even touch the ceiling.
No, still didn't, yeah.
Is that for the old Afrikaans auntie that can want to drive a bucket?
That can want to like to hang over the steering wheel.
Yeah. But now the Figo offers this as well. And for a car that's coming into that sort of price range, I thought that was actually fantastic. Because you can sit there and you can get either, you can get a good comfortable seating in it and you can get fantastic visibility out and around the car. You know, you can make out where the corners of the vehicle are.
No blind spots.
Major blind spots in that. You know, you're not sitting there staring at the, if you do happen to be vertically challenged, you're not sitting staring at the door sill or the window sill as you're driving around. You know, you can get a nice driving position.
But that's the stuff.
Something you liked was the badge?
I like the fact that it was a Ford.
Yes.
Because, I mean, it is a Ford. And Ford is reliable, dependable. I mean, you're talking about some of your first experiences were with the Fairmont.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a Ford. Yes, people rag on Ford and they pull the mickey out of it. There's no denying one of the biggest motoring companies in the world. Mm. What do they call it?
For only rough drivers.
Everyone's got their own interpretation. It's not the cross, say. You did the normal...
No, we did the usual one, the normal one. We did the 1.5 sedan, and we did do it in a titanium spec. So the titanium spec is the highest spec one, and that brings me on to the trim level, because it was actually quite nicely trimmed. Now, if you take it in the titanium spec, you're going to get it with Sync 1, which is their infotainment. So that's going to give you Bluetooth, USB, auxiliary, the whole toot in there, AM, FM, MP3, you know, the whole maneuver in that system, and that's really, really cool. But if you don't go with that one, then it's got a little, almost like a little cubby hole on the top of the dashboard. Yeah. You've got a normal radio down at the bottom, but that little cubby hole actually sort of, it's very cleverly designed because the hinge acts as a bit of a clamp. So you can actually clamp your smartphone in underneath the lid.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
And it becomes a phone holder over there.
Oh,
and then
geez,
in that cubby hole at the back is a USB charging point.
So you
just plug it in there. It's constantly charging. You can use that for your navigation on your phone. And I mean,
that's
I think
cool.
that is actually fantastic.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah. You know, when people design cars for the tools
your
that
own,
we use.
The technology
stuff,
that we have.
Exactly.
Now.
You know, maybe that Oaken Cape Town should get it. Then he can go and catch his Pokemon.
This guy's not sitting well.
Hey,
with you,
hey? He's really ruffled you up some, hasn't he?
Yes.
Are you on your scooter today?
No, I'm not.
It's a good
Luckily
thing.
Luckily not, yeah.
Okay. Well, we had it with an automatic gearbox as well, and that's one of the other things that we really, really like, is the fact that it has a great, great gearbox in it. It is the power shift gearbox, which sometimes doesn't work with all the motors, some of the smaller motors, but it really works well with the slightly bigger motors. And with this 1.5 liter motor, silky smooth. It was a really, really good motor. It's got a rocker switch on it, so you can manually change gears, but that's pretty pointless.
Okay.
There's no real need to do that. It made it fantastic in traffic, and it never battled on the highway, and it was economical. It hit all the numbers.
Sure.
They
fantastic.
Said 7.2, and we were hovering around 7.3, 7.4.
Sure. Oh, that's great.
And that was just properly driving it,
yeah.
You know, just normal driving. Mm. It wasn't trying.
Yeah.
If we had actually been trying, I think it would have gotten down to that 7.2 that they claim, or 7.1, I think, is what they claim.
Fantastic.
Then it's not badly priced. This one comes in a little pricey, though, because it is the titanium spec.
Yeah.
It is automatic, and it is the sedan. Comes in at 200, just shy of 210,000 Rand. Which actually isn't bad money.
Mm.
That can get you into a normal Ford Fiesta, though. So, it's going to can get you into a newer car, but then you're coming in at like an Ambiente trend sort of trim level. And then you're missing a lot of the nice stuff, the bells and whistles.
Yeah.
And that sort of hurts. So, I would say that, you know, the Figo's really not badly priced. I really think it is a cracking buy there. You can go and take a look at our video. It is on our channel, our YouTube channel, Auto Trader South Africa.
That's if you want to buy new. Mm. You know, these days also, I mean, for that price, I mean, our market currently is, we've discussed it, also very strong in the second hand. So for that kind of money, I don't know. But I mean, you drove it, so
the thing is, I mean, they're going to give you the service backup and the warranty and all that sort of thing. That and that's the peace of mind that you get with a new car. Yeah. If there's an issue with it, boom, take it back to the dealer,
and they'll sort
and
it out.
And that's exactly why we like the badge as well. Yes. It's because it's Ford. There's 100%. A dealership everywhere. I think there's even one in Zierist. There may be one in Zierist.
Just next to the goat.
Look, they make Bucky's, so hey, come on.
Yeah, it's just next to the goat. One traffic light down. Yeah.
You're backtracking now, Zierist.
I know we're running out of time, and something you guys mentioned earlier, I want to know what's happening with Superdrift. You guys said something, something exciting happening?
Yeah, Superdrift. We had the fourth round of the championship.
Yeah.
On
when was
on this? Saturday.
Yeah. Oh, thanks
on
for the
Saturday.
Invite.
Yeah, it was and it was won by Zain Hussain.
Sorry,
I'm
late.
From Kamatipoort. So cool. Yeah. So Zain Hussain took it. Sean February from Cape Town came second
that
and Paolo Gouveia third place.
I take my hat off to those Oaks. What they drove 200SX with a ginormous motor in it. This guy comes out in the final. First run of the final, his gear lever breaks off in his hand. Now, in competition, we afford the drivers 5 minutes to effect any repairs.
Basically call a timeout.
This guy pulled into the pits. His crew jumped into the car, drilled a hole in the stub
you
of the shaft,
kidding me.
Smacked a screwdriver into it, and he was back out online.
Brilliant.
With 30 seconds to spare.
What's his name again?
Sean February.
Sean February.
I was hoping he's Afrikaans because I booed him as Makaplan.
Copy Makaplan. It's from Cape Town.
Copy Makaplan.
And actually, surprising enough, he lives in
Broncos Breit now. Yeah. So he's
working no wonder he's been saying so many times. Now, yeah.
I take my head off to those Oaks. You know, being able to affect that kind of repair in that small time.
I mean,
time
5 minutes is nothing.
And then still, and he literally.
And still performed, I'm assuming.
He lost.
Well, that's when you're on your best.
Unfortunately, he
lost out so narrowly, hey.
Because he bailed on the first run.
Yeah.
And they went back and fixed it.
You must explain bailed.
The car broke.
He gave up. Like,
The car broke. So he's allowed to call 5 minutes. Yeah. And essentially, he went in, they fixed it, and just couldn't score enough points.
But it still put him on the podium.
Magic.
Right, folks, we've run out of time. Hard lines. But don't forget to catch us next week. Next week, we're going to be on Monday
9
morning,
9 o'clock.
Karen, and we wanted cake.
Yeah, we wanted cake.
Yeah, it's like some just big saying. Cake company can make
well,
a
no
car.
Well, no one's going away. You're all still going to be on the show.
Yes.
So we just changed the format.
No, that's just justifying.
Normally
wants cake.
That's just a cop-out. All right, folks. But thank you very much for joining us here. Please do go and check us out on social media, Twitter, Facebook, the rest, Instagram, the whole works. We're everywhere. Mm-hmm. Go and check out the site for news, reviews, and up-to-date information from all of us here at Auto Central. Myself, Chad Lukoff. Have a fantastic time and stay safe. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Auto Central, powered by Auto Trader on cliffcentral.com.